It's Postcast. The Jazz have advanced to the second round. How? I'm not sure. I'm deliriously crazy. Ron Boone's going to have some sort of maturity to this show. I've been running up and down the concourse screaming at the top of my lungs, going nuts. It's Postcast. Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone, and we won the series. It's unbelievable, an incredible game. 96-91, frankly, hanging on for dear life. I think they missed like their last 8 or 9 shots. I'm not entirely sure still this moment what happened. We saw a world-class superstar performance from Donovan Mitchell. We saw a team with fight and teamwork. We saw them come back, and we saw them hold off, and we saw Russell Westbrook ignore all of his teammates and try to have his team win. Did I miss anything?
That's pretty frustrating, I think, for a teammate to ignore the rest of your teammates, especially when you got potential Hall of Famers on your basketball team, thinking that you can do it all. Remember at the beginning of the ball game, I was wondering when he was going to try to take over the basketball game and try to will this team to a victory. And we saw it here late in the ball game, where he just ignored. And maybe he just felt that Paul George wasn't mentally into the ball game, because Paul George did not score in the second half. And that's probably the problem.
Paul George finished 2 of 16. All right, the big moment's going to be talked about a lot late. Paul George, in his career, in the late last 2 minutes of a game, has been terrible. We mentioned in the broadcast he was 1 of 26 from 3 in the final 24 seconds of the game. He got what would have been a pretty open look. He dove toward Rudy Gobert, is right. There was a ton of contact. I will tell you openly, I thought it was a foul when I saw it the first time. I've seen the replay, and I've seen it called a foul 100 times. You're not as convinced.
Well, I'm not as convinced because a couple of years ago they started not making that call, and sometimes even calling a charging foul on a player when he jumps to his right. When the basket is straight ahead and you jump to your right to make contact, they've been ignoring that. But I'm not so sure it was enough, you know, to not make that call. So it's puzzling, but for once this year, we feel like the Jazz got something in their favor, you know.
I do think that his 1 of 26 in his career from 3, which got, remember last year when C.J. Miles didn't give him the ball and he yelled at C.J. Miles afterwards and it became a huge news story that he was one of, at that time he was 0-4 in the final minutes. I think that played a part in this. Because he knows it, and I think he was diving out of that shot to get free throws.
Well, if that's the case, it was a big mistake. I mean, so what? If you're 1 for 26, then you have to be 1 for 27. But he had a pretty good look, because Rudy was not trying to foul him. Rudy was trying to jump and challenge his shot and go towards, you know, go past him. And he jumped into him. So, you know. Fortunately enough for the Jazz are going to the second round for the second year in a row.
Let's go to the next part of this. Donovan Mitchell was just, I mean, beyond reason. His second quarter, he had 23 points. It's the most points ever by a Jazz player in a quarter in the playoffs. He had the fourth most points tonight ever of a rookie in the history of the playoffs. The only rookies to ever score more in a playoff game are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor at the time. Magic Johnson in his legendary performance when he jumped center for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the finals against the Philadelphia 76ers, and Chuck Person, who I didn't know did this as a rookie, but pulled it off as well. Those are the only three players in the history of the NBA as a rookie who've ever scored more than Donovan Mitchell's 38 points he scored tonight. He's only the ninth rookie ever in the history of the NBA to ever score 30 in more than one playoff game. But he did it with 23 in the third quarter. He was dominating, unstoppable, and remarkable.
Yeah, remarkable. He ended up taking 26 shots, 14 for 26. And he spent 40 minutes on the floor tonight. So you could tell right there, David, that both coaches were desperate enough that where they were not trusting certain players and they were not trusting certain combinations or afraid to use different combinations out there on the floor to try to make sure that they won the basketball game, you know. So if you have a chance to win, you got to go ahead and win and worry about that next basketball game. And you know, Coach Snyder, he went with Donovan, and Donovan performed for him.
There's a woman over here walking down the steps who has seen a lot of great moments in Jazz history. This one's probably right up on her list as Nada Stockton watching the game tonight, heading down right over there, having seen obviously the greatest moments of Jazz history. But this This feels like a very, very big moment, Ron.
Well, this feels like a very big moment and a very big year. You know, we've seen a lot that's gone on with this basketball team, and we had our worries. We've had our moments when we thought we were a great team, and then we've had our moments when we thought, boy, you know, we're just not good enough. But collectively, and then with the emergence of Donovan Mitchell, you know, this team is making believers out of all of us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm very mixed. There's a lot of X's and O's to talk about because it was a really interesting game where the Jazz struggled for a long time and then fought through, which in some weird way, Ron, quite honestly, I just thought about this. Work with me on this one. Tonight's game almost feels very symbolic of the season. So they started the season game, then the Thunder made some changes, the Jazz fell completely apart like they did in the middle of the season, and then when it all seemed like they were probably dead, they fought their way back, and then in the playoffs, this has been quite a little tussle. You know, by the way, I'm being told right now that Westbrook swiped at a fan on his way out. I'll find out about that. So a little frustration there. But it does seem I'm probably pushing the analogy a little bit here, but it does feel as though this game had some kind of parallel to the route we've been on the entire season.
Well, you got a great point there. I mean, the ups and downs, the injuries, there's so much that's happened to this team this year. And it's happening now, you know, with Rubio going out. And now someone else have to step up. And I guess we haven't said enough about the point guard by committee tonight that ended up getting it done there with Alec Burks having a role at it, Donovan Mitchell, obviously. Joe Ingles, I think, actually closed the game out at the point guard position. So you're absolutely right. I mean, if you think about the game and how not the game but the season – you know, that's what the Jazz have had to deal with all year.
You make a great point. Royce O'Neal and Alec Burks made some of the biggest plays of the night. Yeah. There's so much to talk about. I don't know that we're fully covering it. I'm a little just kind of overwhelmed by the night. It was awesome. It was fight. The end was crazy. I have to look back at it. I think the Thunder held the ball for about the last minute and 30. Actually, I have the fourth quarter play-by-play. Here we go. Derek Favors hits a shot with 1:08 left. The Thunder hold the ball for the next minute. In that meantime, they miss 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shots in that time period, including a timeout in the middle. Then they miss one more 7 to close, and the Jazz hold off.
I think they end up missing 8. 6, and then they miss 2 for 8 shots, which is – and they had some threes. They had some looks. Adams kept it alive by tapping it back out through and it was seemed to be going right into the hands of his teammates, and they were missing shots. So,
incredible night. Sorry I'm not – have any idea what I just experienced. I'm done. It was awesome. Go Jazz. See you in Houston.